All right, we are back with the Elaborators podcast. It's producer Simon here, back in the seat, and it's been a long time, probably too long for many people that liked our podcast, and not long enough for people that didn't. But we've got a special Father's Day podcast here, and I've got some special guests. I've got one extra person than normal, so bear with me while I press all the buttons. And I'm going to unmute them now, and I'm going to bring in our first guests. Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, Sam.
Introduce yourselves. Who have we got first here?
My name's Sam. I have two girls at home. One's a three-year-old. One is a few months old.
Yep. Married. Not married.
Married. My wife, Jamie. And, we've been coming here at Catalyst for 5 years now.
Great. And who have we got over next to you there?
Yeah, hi. My name's Brian. Father of three kids, 18, 13, and 12-year-old. Married, happily married. My wife for 10 years. Loving her for 16.
I love it. So that's a busy house.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty busy house. Yep. I'm a supervisor at Elders Wall. Start work 11 to 9
yep.
afternoon. So, yeah. Come to Catalyst for about 6 months now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, great. So
fairly new to the church.
And then right down the end, we have who?
Inogi here. And being blessed, 36 years ago, I found a woman and married. And for 35 years of being a father of three children, adult children, Jane, Dale, and Fatai, and all living at home, unfortunately. And I'm so blessed to have a daughter-in-law and also three beautiful grandchildren at home. Lala and Isi, little Inoka Jr. and little Dale Jr.
And sincere apologies to the three of Inoka's children who are listening. Do they well know that they are still at home?
I'm not sure. I'm counting the clock every day. I look at my watch and say, when are they leaving home? But they are warm. They secured and quite warm and welcome at home.
Well, thank you all for being here. We're going to chat fathers, dads, fatherhood, father figures as well. We are all dads here, but there are many that are not dads, but they are fatherly, all the way up through our grandfathers and things as well. So we're gonna just see where this goes. We're gonna find out a little bit about dad matters. So we are currently in a sermon series called Make It Matter at Catalyst, and that is all about the legacy that we're leaving behind, in particular around our faith and our faith walk, and what are we doing with all of the faith that we have and our heart intent, and we're going to apply that to fatherhood and dads. So I thought I might start us off here, fellas, with a little bit of an icebreaker here of. I'll give you like three questions and you can pick one that you want to respond to, just depending which one might gel with you. I've got, what's your favorite age of parenting so far? So you haven't had as many as some of the other ones, but still you've got a baby and you've got a toddler, preschooler. We have, who's the softest parent at home? Who's the good cop and the bad cop? Or do you bounce that around a little bit? Or what's your favorite thing to do together as a family? So you can kind of pick one of those. What about you, Sam?
I'll take the good cop, bad cop. We actually don't really have a good cop, bad cop system. We've got from my dad and my mum, I remember growing up that dad would be the enforcer and mum was the softer. And so if dad said no, we'd go, okay, let's go ask mum.
Right.
And then sometimes that would work, often it wouldn't. But dad's point of view was that, and mum's, was that they were a unit, so that they were one entity. And so for Jamie and I, it's very much that. So far with Eden, who's our three-year-old, the boundaries are being pushed a little bit. And if mum says something, I agree. And so maybe afterwards we might have a conversation and go, maybe we could have handled that a little bit differently. But for Eden, we're a unit. So... yeah.
That's good. Great. What question have you got there, Ryan?
What was your first one?
The favourite age of parenting so far. So you've gone through. You've got an 18-year-old.
Favourite age, maybe when she was like 5. 4, she's coming into her personality and growing up, showing us who she is. She was very independent at an early age, matured purely early. So it was good to see her growing up from that age.
Yeah, right. So that change from a toddler who have little personality traits, but then starting to actually form some as like a five or 6 year old going to school.
Yeah.
Yep.
And being the elders, she's the first one to go to school and then high school and all that. And she had to find out on her own how to manage those, I say, just manage.
Yeah, yeah. Leading the charge experience,
For the siblings, for the youngest ones.
Yep. And you had a bit of a gap there too, right? So it was 18 to 13?
Yeah.
And then 13 to 12?
Yeah.
So there was a gap there where she was flying solo?
Yeah, she was flying, solo by herself. And very proud of her, what she has achieved and grown up by herself.
Yep. Okay, what were yours?
I think for me, there's two of the questions there kind of mixed together. I would say I'm probably a lot more softer. The one that copped a lot more, they still here because of me being a soft. My father was a man. He was a very soft, committed person. And I think I kind of inherited something from my father, that being soft around my children is probably one of the reasons why they're still hanging around, even though I kind of clock for them to leave. But it's probably, if I was the other way around, they'd probably be out the door a long time ago. But I think that's a... For me, the different ages of where we've been with the kids, even right now, I'm still enjoying being with my kids, even though they're older.
And you are also in that stage where, just as they're all getting older, the little grandkids are coming through, right? And you're reliving a lot?
I do. It's interesting because I start to apply what my fatherhood, my kids when they're young, to the children. But there's a shift because I only go through a boundary because my son and his wife are parenting, so my time of parenting are limited and restricted because that was 30 plus years ago. Whereas now, my son are parenting the kids, so I used to spoil them. I can't spoil the grandchildren now. I do it when they are away. So sure. I took over and spoil them and give them everything they do, what I did to the grandchildren. But when my son and his wife are home, I'm restricted. I can't do it. I'm not allowed to do. So there's some boundary. But I see my grandchildren, see my children in my grandchildren. Yeah. It's almost like we're doing it over again. Mm. It's a joy.
Yeah. Well, I better answer a question as well. So I can answer the other one we didn't get to, I don't think, which was favorite things to do together as a family. I would say it's been interesting as we've gone through different eras. So I've got, I think I forgot to say, I've got two children, two girls, 13 and 11. And I would say that we adventuring, going and doing things for our family has always been a big value. So whether that's outdoors, whether it's holidays or even just the theatre or the zoo, just those kind of activities. But as they're moving into that early high school age, And it's winter and the motivation's a little bit there. Like the zoo was the zoo for a really long time and now it's kind of like just the zoo. And so we're just going through that shift of, well, what does that actually mean for us all now to go adventuring and to do things? And it often gets more expensive too. now they're less often falling under the family of four and the child that's under 11 or whatever. It's an interesting challenge as we move through that. So you touched on, Inike, what your dad was and then what you kind of took that and then applied on. Is there, does anyone have your first memory or what you remember of your own dad, either very early on or it could just be, like you said, like the way that they parented or he parented you? Any thoughts on memories like that?
Yeah, great. My memories. I haven't got too many good memories, but the good ones I do have is... he prepared us for footy, prepared us for life. He did prepare us for life. What he showed, what he could show is, because he was passionate about football, so he used to coach us through football and showed his love through that to us in a different kind of way, growing up in the 80s.
I should clarify, is that that's New Zealand football?
Yeah.
Right? It's not AFL football?
No.
Yep.
Rugby.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Yes.
And so was that cultural? Was that just as what he'd grown up with? And so then obviously that would come through to your family?
Yes, what he'd grown up to, what he played as a young kid, I'd say.
Yep.
Rugby was his favourite sport. So.
Mm. Yeah, right. Mm. Yep. Sam, what about for yourself?
I remember Dad's music. That was the thing that some of the things I was thinking about, what's carried over to me as a dad that I didn't mean to carry over is his music, and also has this old brown guitar with dodgy tuners at the end. And he's still got it, but I remember some of the songs he would make up for my brother and I growing up. And just little things like that. He
Music is in. Did you have music on all the time, or was it like he was an instrumentalist?
He was an instrumentalist.
Yep.
So he played bass. He still plays bass. He plays guitar. It'd be those little memories, and he'd make little songs for us. I had a song. I was Sambo Rambo. Where you gonna go, yo? Sambo Rambo. What you gonna do, yo? Sambo Rambo. Where you gonna go? Going down the road to see little Joshio, and that's my brother. So. Little things like that are the things I remember. But now, things I didn't understand as a kid that I understand now with him as a grandfather is that he was more of a facilitator, and that was his way of being a dad. So if we had an interest, if we liked BMX, we liked BMX as kids. And so instead of being super like encouraging and like motivational speaking about it, he'd build us a BMX track in the backyard. And that was his way. His way was facilitating instead of, motivational speaking about it. So and that's clearer now. It's the same with Eden. So he's a builder. He'll build things in the backyard for her to play around. But yeah, that's what I've taken is Dad's musicality and understanding.
I can look back now as a teenager and realize how very like uninterested or unaware I was of what my dad did for work and other things like that. I knew he was a food scientist that worked at CSIRO, right? And like, great, cool. You know, he's a scientist too. But it was never, I'd never dived in deeper, I guess, on that one. But what I can also see now looking back is how much both my mum and dad, but also they just help people. They're helpers. And I think that has carried through to me from a tenacity point of view of just like doing. I don't feel approval necessarily if I've achieved something, but it fills me up to achieve things, to tick a list, to get something done. And I can see that how much my dad did, making things, helping things, you know, running to help someone out, that kind of stuff. That I think is certainly character. Yeah.
Another thing I'll just say as well is that I found Dad very difficult to get approval from as a kid. It was possible, you could do it, but it was really hard because he is an honest man. He's a sincere man, and he'll tell you. So. One thing that happened, my brother, he was a really good rugby player, really good. So he was a kicker, he was a fly half, and he was studying uni, and he was doing something to do with like sports mechanics or something. And he put this video together of a compilation of him trying different techniques to kick a ball over the posts. And so he set up the camera behind him, and he just did this over and over and over again. And he showed it to Dad. And he showed it to us first, and I was like, that's awesome, that's so cool. And he showed it to Dad, and he was so proud of it. And Dad was like, oh, okay, it's a bit long though. Destroyed him, and he was really upset at that. So, like, the content was really good. Yeah, you're kicking great, but Dad was a cinematographer. So his whole thing was editing.
I was about to say, where do you think that came from for your dad?
Yeah, so he was a DOP, so director of photography for like different shows on the ABC and in New Zealand. And my brother, I think, went to him for approval that, hey, I edited this thing together.
Yeah.
But Dad's response was, that's too long. You need to edit it better, and, you know, destroyed him. So the approval was there, but my dad's honesty of like, well, you can do better. I understand that more now, and I actually see the value in that, that it does good. It's not always going to feel good, but Dad's opinion will do good for you.
Yeah. So how do you apply that through to your children's works that come to you with a lovely drawing and you're like, it's a little bit blue, Like, do you?
I'm not the one. She's only three.
So. Right. Well, that's the thing. Is that something that plays on? Like, you say, you know, that memory surfaces. Is that something that plays on?
Yeah,
you?
Yeah, for sure, for yeah. sure. So, of course, there's a balance, you know, of in all of us, I suppose, of who raised us between mum and dad. You know, there's a balance of me being, you know, somewhat softer, like my mum, and then telling the truth, which is, you know, my dad. Not that my mum doesn't tell the truth, but a little bit more adhering to, all right, well, you can do better. Mm. So with a three-year-old, we're not quite there yet to say too much blue.
I'm glad. We'll see.
I'll come to you for advice when that time comes.
Yep. Yeah. So, Inika, as a pastor, is there also things that you'd like, you talk to a lot of families, you know, is there traits that you see that come through or you know, any words of thought or advice there on our fatherly influence downwards, you know?
Yes, I think, you know, fatherhood does help me to recognize values and things that I inherited. There are good things that I inherited, you know, from my father. He was, you know, disciplined, likewise, same. Approval was hard. Being a youngest child, it was even harder, you know. But, you know, seeing him, the discipline that really, you know, it's finding a balance between the discipline and the love. And I grew out of, and I remembered his way of disciplining. He was doing out of love. But it helped me as I grow up to see the things that I inherited in me, you know, the values, some of the respect and all of that. There are good things that we inherit. We do it with gratefulness. There are things that need refine as we go through over. Because when I grow up and becoming a pastor, I learn more about God. It somehow kind of set up my faith on how it is to depend on God. You know, recognizing often the fatherhood of God, the way He loves unconditionally, the way He guides with direction, the way He acts with compassionate. It's kind of helped me grow in my faith. And I think it's so important to see how the discipline of how I could model it by seeing the things that I love to. Yeah, the respect, you know, respect was important in our family, in the household, and father, my dad, ensure that we do make sure that we care for one another, love others unselfishly. So these are biblical stuff that are important of the character of God that we get to live to try and pass on to ensure that we inherit it well, particularly for my son, my grandson, that kind of legacy will continue.
Since what success means changed for you since becoming a dad?
Mm. You know, success is great. It does matter, but it's not about it's not the foundation of our identity, of who we are. So even though, you know, you try your best to try and achieve things, I'm mindful. It has shifted. It is not just about me. When you have children, you love to leave something that is important for them. And it's usually come from the things that we do as success. But there is something more deeper than the success is, you know, for them to know that they are being loved, in your presence in their midst. And so I think that's probably the biggest successful in life.
Mm. Well, my understanding of, you know, success even in that realm is, I was baptized 2023, so I wasn't raised a Christian or anything. But that's actually driven, that came first, and then that influenced what I'd found, what success means as a father. So for me, it's maybe in the past, it might have been, you know, how many holidays we get to go on, how many trips overseas we go on, how much I can buy them, you know, do they have a jumping castle at their third birthday party? Can we hire a clown or something? But now the success for me, you know, what's important came from, you know, my baptism and sort of going on the path, and what's important isn't, you know, of this world, right? I've been given a responsibility. I've been given a task. God's imbued me with this task. And leaning, and sure, I'll have times or days where I'm like, oh, man, that was hard. I want some time off. I want 8 hours to play video games. But then leaning in the direction of, like, I do have a responsibility and maintaining that. There might be a day where I'd lean back a little bit, but then I lean back into it. So success to me is kind of related to what's important, and at the moment what's important is time with them. I'm grateful to be able to work from home a lot. And so between useless meetings that could have just been an email, I'll be with them. I'll be playing with them. You know, Eden will walk in the room, and or even if I'm in a meeting and she walks in, I see her in the little preview of the camera, switch off my camera. Do I need to be listening to this? Probably not. What's important? Is it this meeting with this terrible agenda? No, I don't care. My daughter's here, so camera off, microphone off, and I'll sit with her and I'll say, hey, we're talking about this. Can I see you after? And that's working out well for me at the moment. So just leaning into that.
That's, pardon me, getting onto work side of it, I was fortunate enough that when I was sick of the job I was in, when the girls were little, that my wife was ready to go back to work. And so I think our children were 2 and 4, maybe. And I can very distinctly remember the day sitting designing a product catalog the third time. So that's 6 years of it. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, just had one of those moments. And, you know, work's work. You have those, you have those all the time, right? It's work's work. But we were, I went home and I think it was New Year's Eve or something. We were sitting on the couch, you know, Beck and I at night, talking about it. And she was like, well, if she happened to go back to work as a teacher, she'd earn more, get more holidays and enjoy it more than I'm at work. So what are we doing? And so we switched for about 2 years until the girls went to school and things. And that was amazing. And I was so fortunate for that, and I'm so thankful for that. But from a work perspective, I was going to ask yourself, Brian, because you guys are in a life stage right now where all your kids are a little bit older, but then you're working a shift time, which is a lot of their day. And so we were catching up a little bit before the podcast, and you shared some of the, like, how do you get, how do you maximize your time with them in this era of your work? Because we know that that changes and fluctuates and, you know, life moves on. But what are you doing right now for your teenagers?
It's very difficult because working through the week and late is like a drains you. So it comes to the weekend when mum says, okay, Dad, it's your turn to take over. Let me have my time. I try to step out and step up and help her and what I can do. But it's just during the week, it's just always too training, tiring. So in the mornings, I try and spend a lot of time with my two youngest ones. And because my oldest 18 now, she's off doing her own thing. You know, she don't want to hang out with Dad or Mum now. She wants to be with her friends and go shopping and eat food. So she's all grown up. But I try to spend most of what I can in the morning with my two youngest kids, whether it's just dropping my daughter at school and reading a book with my son or having a chat with him, just talking to him, see what he wants in life and all that kind of stuff. So,
And I think that's really valuable, absolutely, in making, like, helping them get the best of you or what's left of you as well. And it's just pushing that a little bit more to, it would be easy to stay asleep, you know, getting home and letting that happen with the shift work and that kind of stuff. But the efforts going into that book time, into the school drop off, that kind of stuff. So
because all they see me do is work, like going to work. Mum's always been there for them. I think I missed, like growing up, I never got shown success, you know, never got shown. I was brought up different, like, So I never got shown love. I wish I got shown how to, my dad being there, they were older, loved that. Like, the dad being there for your brother. So I never got that. Just got, you know, go away. You know, just go and play. So I'll go for days. When we moved to Australia, I was gone for days and parents wasn't there to look for me or anything. And I was wondering, why can't you look for me? Why can't you show me love? I'm like, why can't you tell me you're grounded? And I never got shown that. So,
But it sounds like what you're doing is you're doing every spare out in those morning times, the available times is where you're putting that into practice.
Yeah, I try and make it up. I'm trying now since turning to God.
Yeah.
I see the light now. Like I see what my purpose is. It's woken me. And thanks for the help, Pastor, and okay, for helping us. Like, it's made me realize how much I've missed. These years, like, I was like a walking zombie. Just going to work, come home, go to work, you know.
So for NK, what does it look like then from a spiritual perspective, from a faith perspective, to lead with that?
Sure. I think it's a great story because there are many, many, and I speak as probably the oldest of the group here and probably in working for so long and realize the change and the transition that took place over those years. It didn't just happen from the day one I started working. I was busy. I was out there. It was all about others and my family. Mm-hmm. But over time, that has shifted. So my encouragement for any man who comes through that, as you progress through your work career, it's important not to ignore for your family to know that you bring, the breadwinner you bring. But it's good to know that we are working towards making progress to consider trying to balance, because a healthier life is when you bring faith and you bring ministry, you bring family, all of them together, not just separate them, that one's more important than the other. So over time, ministry is important. You know, there are times in my work career that it was all about other people and not my family. So I come to learn that work is demanding. No matter what you do, there will always be people who need it, this and need this outside of the hours and all of that. But it's important for family to know that's part of your commitment, your faithfulness to your work, and also on all of that. Spending time with family, it's intentionally can be so difficult and hard. You can't be like just Sam all the time to be at home to work. Not everybody have that opportunity. But I think it's growing to make use and ensure that how healthy is the balance when you bring them all together. Whenever I have time to be able to spend time, because that's the last thing you want your family to remember. And this for me is not all the successful and the things that I achieve, but to remember that you were there when they needed. You know, my father, I still remember that time when I catch the bus to go and see him and when he's getting paid. And I'm expecting that he'll give me 10 cents and to go and buy something while I wait for him to finish work, and we pick up stuff in the market and come home to my little town. That 10 cents and the food is not the key. It's the moment of seeing him at work, that he's there for me, receive me with love, that he cares for me. And even and that remind me that the simplest thing, that the love can be expressed through the smallest thing that you can do, smallest gift, that make a difference in somebody's life, because that will be the greatest memory a child will remember. I remember my father didn't have the wealth, but he taught us to be able to know that you can express love through small little gifts, small little moments. You pay attention to your child and your children, a memory they will always remember. So work's important, but also see boundaries that are important to ensure that you have, and that's my life now. I want to make sure that I'm there when my family and my children need it most.
We can start to wrap this up a little bit. I thought we'd go through with a couple of last little questions that can be a little bit quicker responses that might be off the top of your head. One of them here is what's a value that every dad should be attempting to pass on?
Telling the truth, which was a big one for Jamie and I before we had kids, but that'll be one. So, and trying to live that out too. We don't do, I shouldn't. During Christmas, there's a man with a beard. How do I put this? What I mean.
Yeah, we all get what you mean.
There are other kids that see a man with a beard.
Yeah.
But there's a truth we've talked about as well, where you said that your dad was very honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the detriment sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So how does that play? Yeah. How do you balance that then?
With empathy as well.
Mm-hmm.
we're not at the point of giving feedback on anything. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that plays out yet.
Don't have to have that solved yet. Yep. Yeah. What about for yourself, Brian? Is there a value that you've discovered or you've held on to for a long time?
Yeah, I guess not only put yourself into work, but be there for your family and prioritize your wife or your husband. Show off for them as well.
Mm. Okay.
I think there's a lot of values for my upbringing, and I love to pass it on. And I think for me, I love to see my children continue the value of respect for family, the value of family. It's important, I think, being present at home, but also, love others as Christ. I love to. I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to acknowledge how we, in these days and age, we have lost the respect for one another. And I think that's so highly important to live with respect and integrity and faith in God.
And a final question here, which might be a little bit more lighthearted here, is there something that your kids constantly tease you about? Is there something? Are you a daggy dad? Is it again? Your youngest isn't teasing you about anything yet, other than hurry up and feed me and mm-hmm. Look after me while she's mm-hmm. wailing. Mm-hmm. Although you did say you're lucky enough that she's sleeping well.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I at the moment I'm allowing myself to be goofy dad when I need to be and to do things that might be embarrassing. So. Eden likes Peter Rabbit at the moment, so the Beatrix Potter stories, and there are many characters in those. And she'll be adamant that she wants to be a character called Squirrel Nutkin. And then I'll be Mr. Brown, which is an owl that wants to eat Squirrel Nutkin. and so I'll be walking around the house doing an accent, and then she'll be running around the house being a squirrel. And if maybe when she's all cool, when she's a teenager and she's too cool for me, she'll tease me a bit more.
Something different.
But now it's playtime, it's play and living, like her best friend, right, as a child. So, bring it on. Tease me later, but for now I'm enjoying not being teased just yet.
Enjoy that moment because they grow up so fast.
Yeah, I am.
What about for yourself, Brian? Are you the dork? Are you the dad? Are they either now or in the past?
Yeah, I'll try to be the dork, but you're dry, Dad. Just dry. they tease me about my age. You're getting old. You're looking old, Dad. When I play games with them, like Fortnite, they like to play. So
yep.
You're no good at this.
Mm. I've gone through my Dress to Impress Roblox era. It's not quite Fortnite, but. But they love it. Hop on the computer and you're in their world for a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yep. You're a dork, your dad?
Both. I think the jokes are dry. That's come out a lot. Every time I do a joke, the kids will just say it's too dry.
But it doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't matter. I just do it. And some of the posts and things like that, they would tease me for what I put. And sometimes is if my grammar is not good enough, they will pick it up. And so I feel sad most of the time. But I would say jokes are dry, probably more often every time I do that. I thought it's good, but I'm still doing it, so who cares?
Well, thank you all for contributing.
Thank you
for being honest, as we say, and sharing from your family worlds. I love that, everyone's here is different, right? We're all in different life stages and we've all gone through different things, but... There's a faith component there, right? That is an anchor for us all.
Sure, I think it's important. If I can just use myself, I love my kids. This is a legacy from my father, and I love to see the importance. I'm just grateful that the faith was there, a great inheritance to keep. it really comes down to the fatherhood of God and how that is important in our lives. And if there's anything in our day and age, you know, I'd love my children, love my grandchildren, if there's anything they ought to remember, it's not the things that I achieve. It is the how I loved. I want them to remember that, you know, you were there when they need you most. The most successful father and the father is most needed today is the godly father who is presence. If anything, is how we loved. And that's how we ought to be remembered. It's because the model, best model of us is the Christ-like model of fatherhood. And I think if God is missing from being a fatherhood, we are missing something really important. I think our faith need to be model, our prayer life, our resilience, our decision-making, our leadership, our being a husband. I think it's important. Kids will watch you see how we love our partner. And if it's a different model, then it doesn't represent the godly father. I think at the end of the day, we need to be grounded so that if anything we remember is the unconditional love of a father that he has for us all. And I think that will make a successful modeling father.
I think a lot of that comes back to character, doesn't it?
Correct.
And I think the worldly achievements and possessions can sometimes, I think for all of us, it's that once you move into that fatherhood realm, you snap out of the achievements and possessions into the character and the legacy, right? All right, well, there's the music, the famous music of the Elaborators. Thank you again for being with us today. I hope that's been great for anybody watching and listening.
Yeah.
And who knows, we might dig this studio out a few more times.
Next week.
Talking football.
We've had ideas, but hey, I tell you, the reaction in this room when this music went off tells me that the podcast has been missed. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens there. But happy Father's Day to anybody watching around this time. Mm. Go be with your kids. Go be with your whoever you can be a father to, a fatherly figure to be. And we will see you next time.